All right, welcome back to a long-awaited return of This Week in College Football by CFB Talk Daily. I'm John, and I'm here with Sonny, and we're going to break down the college football playoff, some of the bowl games, the Heisman, and some of the coaching carousel stuff. Sonny, great to have you.
What's up, man? It's been a while. How you been?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. Coming up on bowl season, we find out who wins Heisman in a couple days. Got us some good college football coming up.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you. Obviously, the glaring question is about these games right here. All right. So obviously the questions start with this right here: Michigan versus Alabama, Washington versus Texas. And I don't think we could talk about that without talking about the Florida State Seminoles.
Well, we can't talk about it without talking about Florida State, but apparently the College Football Playoff Committee can. I'm not too sure where I stand on this, to be quite honest, because it's something that I find my opinion changing on quite frequently over the last few days. I mean, I feel like obviously if you go undefeated in a power conference, you probably deserve to be in. But at the same point, the committee's preaching the best four, not the most deserving four. And I don't think that Florida State is one of the best four right now, with or without Jordan Travis, to be honest. And that might be kind of controversial. But if you're going to tell me that Alabama is not a better football team than Florida State, then I really don't know what you've been watching all season.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a bit controversial, because obviously the question is, just because they don't have Jordan Travis, you say even with Jordan Travis, you still don't think that they're better than Alabama, which I could see that. I don't hate the opinion, because Alabama is firing on all cylinders right now. Jalen Milroe is playing out of his mind. And like you said, it's not about those deserving teams. It's the best four teams, even though I'm on the opposite side of the coin, and I think that Florida State was robbed.
I don't know if robbed is the right term, but I mean, this is another example of why a 12-team playoff is going to be good. Florida State, I think, does deserve to be there. But the argument right now comes down to, do they deserve it more than Alabama? Alabama's loss was to Texas, who's in the college football playoff. I know, you know, it's a loss. A bad loss, good loss, whatever, it's still a loss. Florida State has none of those. Florida State won, let's be honest, a very weak ACC this year. Their best win was LSU. Alabama also beat LSU. They beat Florida. Florida's having a down year this year. I'm not sure Florida State – I tweeted, to give you some example, I tweeted the other day that I think if Florida State gets in, they would be TCU'd. And I was met with criticisms of, oh, well, TCU beat Michigan last year, so what does that mean? You think Florida State would win a playoff game? Let me go with this. Number one, anybody who watched that game knows that TCU didn't win that game. Michigan lost it. Michigan was the better team for, what, 59 minutes of that game? 58 minutes of that game? Number two, it doesn't matter if you win that game or lose that game. You lose all credibility when you go on to lose 65-7 to Georgia in the playoff, in the championship game. Georgia, obviously, great team, second championship in a row, whatever. You lost 65-7. Didn't even put up a fight. I just got an ESPN alert now that Georgia just scored another touchdown.
Oh, man.
Florida, the same fate would have happened to Florida State. They would have had to have played Michigan. Maybe they beat Michigan. I doubt it. But I would have to lean Alabama at this moment. But again, it's something that my mind keeps changing on.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think you have a point there. Now, I want to talk about so obviously Florida State, like you said, you don't think they deserve to be in because of what happened. Oh, kind of what happened last year as well, but
it's not that they don't deserve to be in. Do they deserve to be in? Yes, they absolutely do. Are they better than Alabama? That's where I'm having the trouble in my mind.
But now my thing is, what more could they have done? That's what, and I get it, because like Jordan Travis being hurt, but now, just a future precedent. Now, I just want your opinion here. Should Florida State have downplayed his injury? Well, because teams are going to do it in the future now. If you have a star player go out, do you say there's a chance he comes back even if his leg snapped in half?
I don't think you can downplay his injury, because then you're misleading. You ask, what more can they do? they can beat Boston College by more than 2 points. Boston College was terrible early in the year. Yeah, they turned out good. They were terrible. Beat Boston College by more than 2 points. They should have lost to Clemson, if we're being honest. That was an overtime win. Clemson was the better team for most of that game. What did both of those games have in common? Jordan Travis was there for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. But I just think they ran the table. I just something sits wrong with me of putting a team with a loss ahead of a team that's undefeated. I feel like if you win, especially because I feel like if you just win the games that are in front of you, I just don't love putting a team that lost a game in front of them, even though they lost to Texas, which is an incredible football team, also in the college football playoff.
And I agree with that 100%. And Florida State really can't control its schedule, especially like LSU was a top five team when they played. They didn't turn out great, but it's still LSU. They're still a good team, but they can't control that Clemson was kind of down this year. Pitt was just a disaster. Miami was an average team. Florida wasn't great. And then they could have been better against Louisville. The defense was great against Louisville, but the offense looked non-existent. That might be kind of stiff, but it's the truth.
Yeah. So I agree. I think I see both sides of the coin with this Florida State thing. Obviously, I lean towards they should have been in, but I could see the other side of it. And I think the people who pretend that there isn't – it's controversial for a reason, right? I mean, there's people on both sides, and there's no real right answer. The committee did what they did. And that's why we have the committee to pick the four best teams.
And this is another example of why we need that expanded playoff and why people have been saying for years that four teams doesn't work. I'm surprised it took 10 years for a situation like this to come up, to be honest with you.
Yeah, same. All right, so do you want to start with Michigan versus Alabama? We'll highlight that here.
Yeah, I think all this talk about Michigan being America's team, I think that's complete garbage. I don't think anybody wants to see Michigan win. I think America's team at this point is going to be the winner of Texas-Alabama because I think everybody's – or Texas-Washington because I think everybody's sick of both Michigan and Alabama. I saw the reaction from the Michigan players when that was announced and the audible groan that came out of there and the body language. I think this is Michigan's worst nightmare, and I don't think that they're going – I don't want to say I don't think they're going to be ready, but I think Alabama beats Michigan.
I don't disagree with you. I the body language, whoever let a reporter in that room and was not great optics, you know, like talk about looking defeated or like mentally losing before a game, that I feel like there's some truth to that. That video was really bad optics for Michigan.
Yeah. Especially the players know the camera's in there. It's not a secret. The players know the camera's in there. So no matter who you get, you cheer, you go crazy. Once those cameras go off, then you can have your uh-oh moment. You don't do it when the cameras are on. You don't think Nick Saban's going to be showing that to his players? Look at this. These guys ain't ready to play you. And what is Michigan going to say to respond to that?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think it was really bad. I also don't like the Michigan being America's team thing. I think they're the most hated team in America right now, probably. The whole sign stealing thing, I don't know where you stand on that, but I don't think that won them over many people.
America's team. They cheated. They're getting punished for it. Their coach got a soft punishment, his second one of the season. Does anybody realize that Michigan started and ended the regular season without their head coach because of suspension? And you're going to tell me that's America's team? That's who people want to win? There's no way. I'm willing to bet that people would want to see Michigan get absolutely smoked.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that people don't want to see Michigan win. Somehow they're going to make Alabama look like the good guys. I'm not an Alabama hater, but obviously another unpopular program. Who do you have in that game?
Good guy Nick Saban is not something we see too often. I have Alabama.
Yeah, I also think I have Alabama. Although I will say it would not shock me if I was blinded right now for my anger towards Michigan and they're a better team than I give them credit for. I will openly admit that.
No, I do not think it's going to be a blowout. It wouldn't necessarily surprise me, but no, I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any stretch. Michigan's got a great defense. I just don't know if they can be, what's the word I'm looking for, effective enough, I guess you could say, on offense to run with Alabama. Milroe's playing unbelievable. The best thing that happened to him was getting benched. Since he come back, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the entire nation.
Yeah, you're right. He's been playing incredible football. That's why I said that they're firing on all cylinders right now. So the next game that we have here is the Texas Longhorns 12-1, and then the Washington Huskies 13-0. Who do you like here?
I might be in the minority, but I think Washington wins. I think Washington is a better team. The defense, especially late in games, the defense always seems to just come up strong. They find ways to win. Michael Penix is a magician sometimes. I think Washington is going to win this game. It's going to be close. I think might be both teams in the 30s, but it's probably going to be the best playoff game we have, and that will include the championship game, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a great game, too. I'm torn. I'm really torn on this one because I like Texas. I'm friends with some of the Texas coaches. Washington, though, like you said, Michael Penix. I don't know if you saw a thing about Romo Dunze versus Washington, Oregon, where he played with a broken rib and some other injury. I think he had a lung injury as well.
Yep.
And he had two touchdowns, 148 yards. That's a guy I want on my football team. I'm an Oregon fan. I admit it. And I watched this Washington team dismantle us twice this year. They're a good football team.
This, to me, is personally probably the hardest game I've had to pick in college football playoff history.
Yeah, it's a close one. And both teams are – I feel like they're evenly matched, which is what the goal of the committee should always – it should have been. Get us good games.
I agree. And once Alabama won the SEC, regardless of – what happened with Florida State, Texas, I think, deserved to be in as well because Texas beat Alabama. And one loss team, you know, they deserve to be in as well.
Yeah, I feel like if you were to put Alabama in without Texas, that would have been very fraudulent of the committee.
That would have been outrageous.
Yeah. So, like I said, who do you think wins it all?
This might surprise you, but I think Washington wins it all.
So I think – I don't know. Washington is – I think they're up there with me too. I think that might be my pick as well. I like Washington because I like them to beat Texas, and then I just think they can outscore Alabama.
Something about Washington, and I can't quite put my finger on it, but something about them has me believing in – obviously Penix is great, the defense is great, but there's just something there that I can't really, you know, point out specifically, but like – They got something there.
Walker was some of college football's most unheralded players.
Yeah. So, do you want to talk about some of the bowl games that we have coming up?
Absolutely.
Any of these stick out to you that you want to discuss?
I think Penn State and Ole Miss could be a lot of fun.
What do you have any?
Penn State.
Yeah, I think that game is going to be pretty solid.
Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
This is our first episode back in a while. We're going to need to work on the chemistry a little bit. But I think once if we start doing video, it'll be a little bit easier. We can kind of see our visual cues when we're done talking.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but that game is going to be pretty solid. I saw Chop Robinson's already opted out for Penn State. I hope there's not too many more opt-outs. But I like that game. I like this game as well, the Texas Bowl, Oklahoma State versus A&M, but I don't think there's going to be any Aggie players left.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting one. Like you said, it's going to be interesting to see who's left. Walter Nolan leaving is a very massive hole that Texas A&M is going to have to fill now. I have a – not to stray too far off the topic, I have a sneaky feeling he's going to end up at Syracuse.
I was also going to say that. So I have a really good Syracuse source. I know some things, not about him, but about other guys that I can't talk about yet. But you being from that area of the country, I'm going to say that football up there is about to get a lot more exciting.
I hope so, because it's been kind of non-existent up here. College football is nothing compared to the Bills, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, you're a Bills guy as well, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so just a few more things I want to touch on these bowl games quick, and then we can move on to some of the coaching carousel stuff that we already kind of dabbled into. The Pinstripe Bowl, Rutgers-Miami, I think that's going to be awesome. I'm going to that game. And then,
nice.
Mario Cristobal taking on his former mentor Greg Schiano. That'd be awesome. This is the last game I want your opinion on. The Cotton Bowl. Ohio State versus Mizzou.
That's a. I feel like that's a game that a lot of people are going to just hammer Ohio State on. I'm not sure who's even going to be playing for Ohio State. McCord's transferring. Mm-hmm. Is Marvin Harrison coming back for another year? Is he going to the draft? If he's going to the draft, I don't think he plays. Missouri's got a pretty good defense. Ohio State always grinds out wins, except against Michigan. I wouldn't be surprised to see Missouri get that upset win.
I wish we didn't agree on so much stuff, because that would make for a better conversation. But I also think Mizzou wins. I think Brady Cook, Luther Burden, Cody Schrader, that's a good offense. Now, I will say I'm wearing a Mizzou hat right now, so I may be a little bit biased. And like I said, McCord not being there, they're starting Devin Brown. And speaking of Kyle McCord news, I hear he's looking at Rutgers, Nebraska, and another – maybe Maryland. I forgot. That might be the other team.
Why would he want to stay in Big Ten country?
Probably because he could, you know, lose a limb and also still be the starting quarterback at Rutgers.
I have a pretty good landing spot for him that might be interesting.
Let's hear.
How about Virginia Tech?
Hey, that'd be awesome. But
I'd be highly intrigued to see what happened there.
I would like to see Daquan Finn at Virginia Tech.
I could see that also.
I think that kid is going to be so good for whatever program gets him. I think he's visiting Wisconsin, but I would love to see him at VA Tech. The McCord Rutgers link actually comes. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if they talked about it a lot, but his father played football at Rutgers.
I remember hearing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know if that was that was news to me. I don't know how this as a Rutgers guy went over my head. I heard this the other day and I was like, there's no way this has to be a lie. And it yep. was true.
I have one more bowl game too that I think is flying way under the radar. And when I tell you the teams, you're going to understand why. But I think the Hawaii Bowl could be a lot of fun. San Jose State and Coastal Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 10:30 p.m. Honolulu ESPN versus yep. – that's a good game. Who do you like in that game?
I wish it was still on Christmas Eve just because I'm a creature of habit and I like that. But I'll take a 10:30 start for a bowl game. I would go San Jose State in that one.
Yeah, I admittedly don't know too much about San Jose State. I would honestly say you're probably more of a knowledgeable football guy than I am. I will admit that.
Oh, I don't know about that. I appreciate that, though.
I like this one, too. I wish they still had their coach, but the Armed Forces Bowl for Air Force versus JMU. I feel like that would be a fun game as well.
You know, I've been burned by the triple option so many times. I hate picking triple option games. I would think Air Force wins that, but again, I don't know.
I would tell you that Air Force blew two parlays this year for me. And one of them was when their win streak finally ended. I was like, oh yeah, Air Force, like these guys have been killing it all year. Like this is definitely going to be it. And I will tell you that it was not it.
Was that to Boise at lot or at end? No, but Boise was the end of the year. Who was?
I did have them that game as well, and they lost. I think. Let's see. So, Army. The next thing we're going to it was Army. That's what I bet them against Army, and Army decided that they were going to be back.
Oh, dude, never bet triple options, especially when they're playing each other.
I know, but it just. I'll tell you, it looked good to me. That's all. It looked good.
No, you know how it looks good to me is when I'm scrolling past it.
That's fair. I got to make sure this video doesn't start playing before I switch the tab. But our next topic is going to be the Heisman Trophy ceremony. I don't want another rude interruption where I got to scramble to shut someone up before. I do have to credit these people that are in the podcast. I mean, they're just making appearances for like a few seconds. All right. All right. So our next topic of conversation is the Heisman Trophy, which is The four finalists, LSU quarterback Jaden Daniels, Ohio State wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr., Oregon quarterback Bo Nix, and Washington quarterback Michael Penix Jr. Sonny, what are your thoughts about the four finalists?
Solid finalists. The one that I have an issue with is Marvin Harrison. It's not because he's a great player. It's because I think that there's somebody better than him, more outstanding than him at their position, and that's Malik Nabers from LSU.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate that because I agree with you that Marvin Harrison's not the best receiver in college football. I think he gets a little bit too much credit because of his name. I think he's had a down year as well with McCord. I mean, he put up these numbers in spite of McCord, not because of McCord. And I feel like that's absolutely the only argument you can make about Nabers is that maybe Jaden Daniels kind of – but I don't think that's the case. I just think it's the counter-argument you can make. I think Daniels and Nabers complement each other. I don't think one of them makes the other one look better than they are.
Yeah, I think both would be great without the other one. And Harrison would be great with anybody at quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. I'll go first here on who I think should win the Heisman Trophy. So obviously we limited Marvin Harrison out of Washington. Bo Nix, I don't think he's incredible. I'm an Oregon guy. But losing twice to Michael Penix, I'd have a problem with saying Bo Nix is better than him when, even though it's not a direct head-to-head competition. It is, but they're not on the field at the same time. Much. But my Heisman finalist, as much as this season I've been called an LSU hater, I've been called all these names, give me Michael Penix Jr.
Wow. Okay. So here's my argument against that. The Heisman Trophy Award is awarded to the most outstanding player in college football, not the most valuable. If it was awarded to the most valuable, then I would agree with you that it would go to Penix. The most outstanding player this year has been Jaden Daniels. I think he's masked a lot of issues at LSU, especially with the defense. His offensive play, keeping the ball for LSU, just making big play after big play to keep LSU in games. I think that LSU is a lot better with him. And next year, I think they're in for a rude awakening, especially Brian Kelly once he leaves. So I would say that Jaden Daniels would win.
Yeah, I said I could see the Daniels. He's definitely my very close second because his numbers are undeniable. Jaden Daniels had an incredible season, and you're 100% right. LSU was not very good this season, and the only reason they were able to compete was mostly because of Daniels and Nabers.
I don't remember if it was you I was recording with last year, or Eric, but I remember saying Jaden Daniels was a Heisman caliber player after he transferred from Arizona State. And one of you guys basically laughed me off the show at that point.
We're going to have to find a clip of that and we're going to have to put it out as your prophecy. It's going to be your claim to fame.
I believe it was the season preview we did last year.
Dude, I'm going to go listen to it after this. And if it is, I'll cut it. I'll try to cut it into this episode so we can cut to that and see. We can hear your take on Jaden Daniels. But if you remember it, it happened. So that's awesome.
I believe I might have actually had Bo Nix.
Yeah, I just
in
don't think
well
that.
Because... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, if you're saying Bo Nix, I think that Bo Nix might have been a little bit more. Like people, I feel like, were taking that a little more serious because Nix was going to a loaded offense.
Yeah, but I remember, and anybody that's read my stuff on Saturday Blitz knows that for years I've been saying Bo Nix is like, he's got all the potential. He's got the tools. He's got what it takes. For whatever reason, something at Auburn didn't click. I don't know if it was the offensive style. I don't know if it was just how good the defenses are in the SEC. Something didn't click. But when he went to Oregon, whatever it was, there it is. Now he's a Heisman finalist, and he had his team, 3 points away from college football playoffs?
Yeah. He's definitely really good, and his offense, I just think the coaching at Auburn failed him, I think.
The coaching at Auburn has left a lot to be desired over the last few years, that's for sure.
I think at Oregon, he was in a... Yeah, it definitely has. I mean, they also... Just going off on a tangent here again, Auburn did lose to my favorite head coach in all of college football, Jerry Kill.
Jerry Kill's awesome. So. Jerry Kill is a coach that everybody across the country should be. Michigan wants to be America's team. Jerry Kill should be America's coach.
I would get that's from that. That's what we're gonna call him. I'm gonna tweet that after this episode. Just a picture of Jerry Kill and America's coach. So the last thing I want to talk about while we're on coaches is let's touch on the coaching carousel a little bit. What are some of the shocking hires, or you think the best hires? Obviously, there's one very close to home for you that is the talk of the country.
The coaching hire to me that makes the least sense that I think is going to blow up in a few years is Jonathan Smith to Michigan State. That's not to say Jonathan Smith isn't a good coach, because I think he is. And I'm sure you remember from last year how high I've been on Oregon State over the last 2 years. A lot of that has to do with the quality of coach that he is. But you also know by now that I'm a huge guy when it comes to fit in terms of coaching. I just don't see how he fits at Michigan State. I think he's not going to last very long there, but I also think it's going to be because he leaves on his own. I think we eventually see him take over at UCLA. But that could be, you know, 3-4 years down the road.
Oh, that's a bold prediction. That is a bold prediction.
It is, but again, like I said, I don't think that he's a fit at Michigan State. And that's nothing against his coaching ability. He's a great coach. Just I don't see how he fits there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, although I won't say that I think, okay, I agree he leaves on his own terms. I do think that he's going to be good to stabilize that program, bring them away. I think Mel Tucker was kind of not the best for them for multiple reasons, not the reason they got fired. But I saw that they may be bringing in Dante Moore to Michigan State, so that'd be pretty cool, bringing in a five-star quarterback with the new head coach. And I think the reason that they're going to have success at Michigan State is he brought a lot of the Oregon State staff with him. And I feel like when you have that familiarity of among the coaches, they all know the system. I feel like when everyone's on the same page, I feel like when you bring in coaches from all sorts, all other programs, and you hire this guy from this program, this guy from this program, like try to assemble the Avengers, I feel like sometimes it doesn't work out because, you know, it's not becoming all one product. They're all from these other schools and the system isn't there.
And let's look at the opposite side of that too. Oregon State's been absolutely gutted. They've been pretty good the last 2 years. Now they lost their conference. They lost their schedule. Their head coach is gone. Their quarterback is leaving. The transfer portal has blown up from them. And now a bunch of coordinators have left also. Oregon State's been left with absolutely nothing.
Yeah, no, you're right. They have absolutely been gutted. So do you want to end with Fran Brown, or do you want to just get him out of the way now?
Let's end with him.
All right, so another head coaching hire that I want to talk about is one that is being finalized. I don't think it's done yet, but it's going to happen, is Manny Diaz to Duke.
That's an interesting one. I don't think Diaz is a great head coach, but I think at a place like Duke, it's not really a fit either. I think it's going to take someone special to succeed at Duke to the level that Mike Elko did. Now, on the flip side of that, you can't really judge a coach based off year one or two at their position, because if you did, Brady Hoke would be one of the greatest Michigan coaches ever. You know, so there's examples of a new coach comes in, takes over the old players, has success, and then everything falls apart. Duke now lost Riley Leonard. He's probably going to end up at Notre Dame. I think that's safe to say, right?
Yeah, that's it. Definitely safe to say.
And, you know, now what? It's still got the academic standards. You're still in the ACC. Now you have SMU coming in, who I've been saying for years, SMU is a sleeping giant. They just need a chance. They're in Texas, huge advantage. They're in Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. That's a huge recruiting ground. Now they're in a power conference. They're going to have as good a shot as anybody at the playoff in the next, I'm going to say, 5 years. That's probably a bolder prediction than Michigan State's coach leaving on his own. But I think within the next 5 or so years, SMU is going to become a power. maybe not like they were in the 80s, but they're going to be in contention for a lot of things, and it's going to be a lot of recruiting wins for them.
Yeah, I agree. I think SMU is a sleeping giant. And like I said, Duke, it's a hard place to win. Elko had something special. Riley Leonard going to your Notre Dame Fighting Irish, safe to say. So that'll be fun for you. But I think Diaz, I feel like he should have waited for a better job. I'm going to be honest.
I don't know that there were going to be that many people knocking down his door to hire him, though.
I just think a school like Duke, you can't win with a I can't say that because they had Mike Elko. But I feel like a defensive specialist, you have to go to a school where you're bringing in 4 or 5-star guys and you're going to be able to have the assistant coaching pool to hire a guy who knows offense.
And you just said something there that drives me absolutely nuts. And it seems like it's Duke that's always mentioned in this breath, that you can't win at Duke. Why can you not win at Duke? Yes, they have high academic standards. Yes, they have this. Yes, they have that. Look what they do in basketball. And I understand they're a basketball legacy school. That's their thing. But if you can win in one sport, you can win in multiple of them. It's not like they're in the middle of nowhere and, oh, people don't want to go to Duke because they're in the middle of a desert or they're in the middle of farmland or they're in the middle of whatever. Mm-hmm. If basketball players will go there, football players will go there too, if you give them a reason to. And that's the problem. What reason should you go to Duke other than an education? And if you're going to Duke for an education, you probably don't want to spend your career playing football.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I said, I think I missed, I didn't mean, you can win there. I just don't think the type of coach Manny Diaz is can win there.
I understand what you were saying, but just the way that you worded that is a way that people say, you know what I mean?
You can't win here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it just takes a special type of coach, not only at Duke, but some of these other programs, like, okay, a good example right here, talking about, because we're going to go there next, Syracuse. Okay, Dino Babers, obviously it's a hard place to win at. You need to hire a guy who, you know, can ingrain himself in the community or has really wants it. You know, it has to be someone who has like a special type of personality. They can't just be like, oh, this guy can coach defense, can't really recruit, can't do this. You know, you have to kind of go for a guy that's exciting and can bring something different and change the culture around.
I don't care what the record says of Dino Babers. He's a damn good coach. He's a really good coach. He got a lot out of Syracuse that, to be honest, he probably shouldn't have. Anybody else, you're looking at routine, like 4 or 5 win teams, and he's getting them 7-8. I think there's a ceiling at Syracuse under Babers, and I think in general there's a ceiling at Syracuse. But you can break through that. But again, like you said, you need the right guy. And with an expert recruiter like they have now, that might be it. And then if Walter Nolan follows, now you got a big-time recruit that's there in the transfer portal. He's already made an impact in college football. This might be the start of something good for Syracuse. But the question then becomes, okay, how long is it going to last? Because anybody that succeeds at Syracuse, they're going to go take a bigger job somewhere else.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that because I want to touch on this a little bit. I saw that Fran Brown said he's here for a life. I hate when coaches say things like that because it always looks bad in a few years down the road.
Yeah, you know that's going to be tweeted in 3 or 4 years when he takes a job at Ole Miss or Mississippi State or something.
Yeah, I said that drives me crazy because why don't you just enjoy the moment? You know, just don't say I'm going to be here for a life. It's your first head coaching job. If you do a great job at Syracuse and a few years down the line, Kirby Smart retires – and Georgia comes calling, you're not going to stay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's probably only, 7-8 jobs in the country where you'd be crazy to stay instead of going to Georgia?
Yeah, maybe even less than that.
Unfortunately, Syracuse is not one of them. Syracuse is one of those – this sounds like a slight, but it's not meant to be, but it's like a proving ground place. Hey, if you can win here, why don't you come up to the Georgias of the world or, you know, something a little – It sounds like I'm knocking Syracuse, but I'm not. Like a more prestigious job.
I don't even think you're knocking Syracuse that much. I think you're knocking the conference. I feel like every team in that conference is in that kind of, hey, if you could do it here, maybe you'll get a job in the Big Ten or SEC.
Not necessarily, because you still have Clemson, Florida State, Miami. I mean, I don't necessarily think that.
I just think that if you called – okay, not Mike Norvell. I think Mike Norvell would stay. Cristobal, I feel like if he's obviously at home in Miami. But Dabo Swinney, if Alabama called Dabo Swinney, would he stay at Clemson? I don't know.
No, not at all.
I don't know.
Would Alabama call Dabo after the last few years, though?
Absolutely not. I think – so for a while, everyone thought that we're pretty much done with the coaching carousel for now, but I want to touch on what you just said there. For a while, I think everyone wanted Dabo to be the successor. But now, because that's coming up, not maybe this year, but eventually Saban is going to be done. Is Kiffin the best option right now?
No, if you're Alabama, there's only one phone call you make, and I don't even know if this guy's going to pick up the phone. But the only call you make is to Kirby Smart. Come on home.
Oh, that would be something, wouldn't it? Could you imagine the uproar?
Oh, my God. The whole South would be in shambles after that.
All right. So, there's one more thing I want to mention to you, and I've tried to speak it into existence. I tried to get Cocho the Syracuse thing. Obviously, they made it better. but I saw there's some interest from Tulane with Cocho.
Dude, we just had a big conversation about fit in terms of coaches, and you want to put Coach O in New York?
Yeah, listen, Coach, he coached there. He coached there. And in 2015, his exact words were, "I would love to coach at Syracuse again."
He wasn't a head coach, though.
No, he wasn't. But
he coached at USC, too, and then he went back to be the coach there. And how did that work out?
You're right. But Tulane now is a great fit, all right? He's with his people.
Tulane would be awesome. And that's a place he can win because he can recruit. And his thing there would be, hey, look, I've won a national championship at LSU. His target could be players that maybe LSU overlooks, And he can tell them, hey, LSU doesn't believe in you, but I do. Come here. Come to LSU's backyard, play, and prove them wrong. And maybe, you play well enough, you get a nice little NIL deal, and you end up at LSU anyways.
Yeah, and that's a good selling point. So I know I said the last thing three times now, but there was one thing I wanted to mention. I saw something today. Bill Bush, he used to coach at Rutgers. He suggested something for NIL. I want your opinion on this. Imagine you were at a program, and they put up on the scoreboard after a big play, a player's Venmo or something like that, pitching NIL that way. What are your thoughts on that?
So what is this, a restaurant now? We're going to tip players for doing good?
I mean, I think that would be a good selling point. I think the first school that does that is going to be on to something. I do think it's a bit silly because, like you said, it's kind of like tipping them. But I don't hate the idea.
Dude, I don't care if it's Josh Allen winning the game in overtime, winning a Super Bowl for the Bills. I'm not going to watch him run for a 5-yard touchdown and be like, you know what? That's worth a 20 right there.
Oh, no, not 5-yard touchdown. But fourth quarter, he throws a dot to Stephon Diggs. And they just, flash his Venmo up there. You're not going to buy him a beer?
No. No, he can go buy his own $300 million beer.
Okay, well, these college kids can't. If you want them to, have a post-game beer,
He can't. They can't buy their own beer because they're 18, 19, and 20.
Listen, I don't hate the idea. I thought it was I think the first school that does that is going to be or I won't even say that. The first school that does something along those lines, because I do think it might be a little silly. They got a sack. Here's his Venmo.
It's extremely silly.
I do though. I don't know if you saw a few years ago at UCF, they put QR codes on the back of the players' jerseys so you can scan them and it takes you to the social media. That was pretty cool.
No, that was – I'm not a big social media guy anyways. I think it's all ridiculous, and I think that was – that no. Just no, never again. There's a reason it's been naming numbers for the last 100 years. And trust me, I'm not one of those people that it's always been this way, so it always has to be this way, but come on.
Well, that's why – so we contrast here. It's a little bit better when we don't agree, so that's why it was good to bring these things up. But
again, I mean, Jaden Daniels runs in for a touchdown. I'm not going to be like, oh, wow, I got to go follow this guy on Twitter. He just made a beautiful run. No.
Okay, but maybe not for LSU, but if you're writing or something like that and you see this kid from, Wyoming throwing touchdowns, it's a little easy to find him that way if you just scan his jersey.
if it's a kid from Wyoming throwing a touchdown, then I already know it's Josh Allen, and I follow him already.
All right, fair point. But
can we just point out, too, I don't want to go back to the coaching carousel again, but can we just point out, I think that Wyoming actually made a pretty damn good head coaching move getting Minnesota's defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I didn't even see that job got filled. So you just got that news to me. Yeah, I didn't even see that Wyoming job got filled. I know I saw Bull was retiring, but I slept most of the day and just then hopped on the recording with you. So I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, it was, I think, only announced yesterday or today. But that's a sneaky good move. Minnesota's had a pretty good defense, and it's the complete opposite of LSU. It's masked a lot of their offensive inabilities, yeah, shall offensive we say.
Disaster. That's because PJ Fraud is just not...
All right. PJ Fleck is not a fraud. Okay, he needs to learn how to recruit a quarterback, and when that happens, everything will be fine in Minnesota.
Okay, so until that happens, he's officially known as PJ Fraud on this podcast.
Oh, that's brutal. That is so not fair.
I'll tell you why I call him PJ Fraud. He took a few unnecessary shots at Rutgers. Now he's PJ Fraud.
Rutgers deserved unnecessary shots. They were in the basement for how many years?
Yeah, and now he's in the basement. Now he's PJ Fraud.
He's not in the basement. They're going to a bowl game.
Yeah, Rutgers is going to a bowl game.
At 5-7, I get that, but they're going to a bowl game.
6-6. Wish you were here, buddy. We'll send them a postcard.
There was a 10-year period where Rutgers didn't get 6 wins within 3 seasons combined.
Yep, but you know what? That's the past. We're in the now. We'll send them a postcard from the Sunshine State of the Pinstripe Bowl.
All right. And meanwhile, Minnesota can have fun playing Bowling Green and what are they in? It's not the Motor City Bowl anymore.
No, it's the Quick Lane Bowl, which by the way, on our Twitter, giving away 4 tickets to the Quick Lane Bowl. So.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that.
Yep. Yeah. They're in the Quick Lane Bowl. But I think that's going to do it. Maybe we should reconvene after the college ball, maybe after bowl season, right before the playoff games.
Yeah, sounds great to me.
All right, Sonny, have a great night. And everyone, you can follow me on Twitter at CFB Talk Daily. And Sonny, your Twitter is?
Sonny Martinez FS.
Yep. Notably not a social media guy, but there it is. All right, have a good night.
You as well. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right.